Hello, everybody, and welcome to the War Room. This one is for this weekend's UFC main event, Jared Cannonier taking on Sean Strickland. Not only the last UFC event of the year, the last War Room of the year. Thank you very much all for watching throughout this year and the Picks podcast and supporting the channel and subscribing and liking. We very much appreciate it. We've got lots of plans for the channel in the new year, which we're excited to reveal to you in the new year. What else? War Room is brought to you by HW1 Fitness. That's one of the other projects outside of the channel that we've got working on. So we're doing a pre-sale of the gym downstairs. The gym is going to be opening downstairs on, end of January it's going to be open when we get all the equipment in there. So check out hw1fitness.uk. We have a limited membership of 1,000 members because we can't get it too busy in there. We want to make sure there's machines for everybody. The martial arts programs are running upstairs, so you can find us on Instagram, HW1Fitness. Judo Jimmy Warlead, Cage Warriors Champ coaching there on a daily basis. It's a cool spot. It's a nice gym. Cool people. Come and check us out. Okay, into the War Room. So last one of the year. Kind of bit weird, isn't it? We're gonna be sitting on our hands for a couple of weekends wondering what to do with ourselves. At least we've got a banger to go out on. And this may well be a five-rounder for a bunch of different reasons. So, quick tale of the tape before we start. Jared Cannonier coming in with a record of 15 wins and 6 losses. Sean Strickland, 25 wins and 4 defeats. Both kind of same average fight time, a couple more minutes on Sean Strickland's side. Strickland is the taller of the two by 2 inches, but a 1-inch reach advantage goes to Jared Cannonier. Now, before we move on to any of the other statistics, I think it's worth mentioning, noting that Jared Cannonier made his debut in the UFC at heavyweight. So he's moved down weight classes, and we remember this transition going from heavyweight. I mean, he looks unrecognizable now by comparison. Went through light heavyweight, fought some really, really tough opponents at light heavyweight, of course. Gave a good account of himself, but was still kind of in that transition moving down to middleweight, which is really where he belongs. I mean, this is absolutely the right weight class for him. So with that in mind, there's a strength and power that Jared Cannonier's got, which he was afforded by being a heavyweight in the past. You know, we kind of see the same thing with Alex Volkanovski when he used to be a 230-pound rugby player. Like it's like, you know, he's been wearing like a 60-pound meat vest for a while, and it's made him very physically strong and powerful. So when you strip all that excess body weight off, like we see with Jared Cannonier, I mean, he moves at speed. He's very powerful. He's physically very strong, and you know, we see that in interactions with people. Like the way that he damaged Anderson Silva with the low kicks, I think he's going to be important in this fight, given the way that Sean Strickland is almost constantly moving forward. But also in the exchanges where, so like say for example when he locked up with Jack Hermanson, who's a good grappler, a big middleweight, Cannonier just looks physically more powerful. He looks, you know, same thing with Brunson the majority of the time when he was defending takedowns, you know. He's physically a very powerful individual, and that's something that is going to be really useful in the early going of the fight. And if this was a 3-round fight, I'd be thinking this has got Cannonier's name all over it. But given the fact that it's a 5-round fight and that we've got Cannonier going heavyweight to light heavyweight to middleweight, and then we've got Strickland being just a little bit too big for welterweight perhaps and moving up to 185, where he's kind of undersized. I mean, you know, 6'1", 76-inch reach, 76, 77, is a kind of a welterweight height and reach. I mean, not even. There are taller welterweights with longer reaches, taller lightweights with longer reaches, which is scary. Taller featherweights with longer reaches, in fact. Like, he's not the biggest of individuals, but the way that he fights, it kind of fits perfectly with his build in this weight class. Like, if he was a big, muscular, powerful individual, he wouldn't be able to keep the same kind of pace on his opponents that he does. And what I love about Sean Strickland is that he's not bothered about posting sparring footage up, and his sparring looks almost exactly the same as his fights. Like, we've talked about his guard before. It's not particularly very useful, to be honest. He's very reactive with his hands, but that's because he's always in punching range, because he's walking himself into punching range, so his opponents feel that pressure all the time. And it's that pressure that, first of all, smothers a lot of the power shots that come in his way, unless you're fighting someone like Alex Pereira. But then we go to the conversation of, can Jared Cannonier do what Alex Pereira did to him? And I don't know whether Although Cannonier, I feel like he could probably muster a similar type of power given a free shot. I don't know if he's got the same kind of ability to set up his opportunities like this. Like, you're going to see Strickland reacting with his hands, but then we also don't know whether Strickland's going to have changed his style slightly given the fact that Pereira caught him very cleanly. Like, it was a really simple but beautiful setup because his hands were constantly coming away from his face. Now, the smart thing for Cannonier to do really would be to work that lead leg of Strickland. But again, the style of Strickland makes it difficult because if you look at the way that Strickland stands, he's weighted over his back leg, which makes his lead leg quite light. And because he's pressuring, he has to have a solution for low kicks. So as he's pressuring, he's got his weight on his back foot. If people start kicking him, he'll just keep lifting his leg up. So although he's not necessarily checking the kick properly all the time, it takes his weight off the leg, which means that his foot isn't planted into the canvas to absorb the power into the muscle. So the kind of lazy, like peppering, like I'm gonna just keep hitting you and pissing you off until you get tired, and you know, any time you throw something at me, yeah, it might hit and you might feel like you're doing some damage, but ultimately it's not really gonna slow me down too much. Like, that style that Strickland's got could be exhausting for Cannonier if he's able to walk Cannonier down for the first two rounds or so and make him work off the back foot. One other thing I think would be smart with Strickland as well, again, going back to the way that these two guys are built, Sean Strickland in the clinch, kind of with that lazy leaning, you know, head position, peppering, tripping, reaping, trying to, you know, wrestle and take the fight to the floor. Even if he's not successful with that control against the fence or with that control taking him down to the floor and holding Cannonier there, the very act of forcing Cannonier to deal with it, whether it's to defend the takedown on the feet or to get back up. Like, of course, you know, Cannonier stopped Brunson, but he was taking some deep breaths after that first round, you know, because you know, Brunson does keep quite an erratic pace. And this, you know, if I'm Sean Strickland, I'm thinking to myself, well, I know this guy's got knockout power, but if I stand close enough to him and force him to throw off the back foot constantly and be always thinking about moving away to create some space, I feel like I'm going to be able to get to him. I'm going to wear him out. I'm going to turn that heavily muscled frame against him and use those championship rounds to really put my stamp on the fight. Like, we know Strickland can work over five rounds. We know, we've seen him do it. You know, of course, he got knocked out in the first round against Pereira. But before that, we had the split decision against Hermanson and we had the unanimous decision over Uriah Hall. Like, we know that he can be consistent and be a real pest over 25 minutes. The Jack Hermanson being a common opponent gives us the perspective of what could happen, though, because Jack Hermanson's a tough individual to deal with in one round or over five rounds. And of course, you know, Strickland was able to beat him by a split decision. But Cannonier was able to put him away. And not only put him away in a quite a one-sided fight, but there was also an intimidation on the side of Jack Hermanson. And for me, that came when he felt the force behind Jared Cannonier, when he physically locked up with him and he's like, I can't move this guy. He's solid. I don't want to clinch with him because it feels like he could just kind of throw me off. And I do feel like that's going to be the case with Cannonier against Strickland. I feel like Strickland is going to be able to clinch him up against the fence and hold him there. But ultimately, Jared Cannonier is going to be able to keep getting off the fence or keep defending takedowns or keep getting back to his feet. But each time he does it, he's going to give a little bit more energy. He's going to spend a little bit more energy, which he's not going to have in the fourth and fifth round when Strickland's still on his front foot, tucking his leg up to avoid those low kicks and peppering him. And nothing's getting through because he's got that kind of wide guard where he's reaching to block everything. Going back to the tail of the tape, the stats support this. Striking accuracy for Strickland is 11% lower than Jared Cannonier's, but the striking output, 5.54 compared to 3.73 for Cannonier. So, you know, we can see that even though there's a lower striking accuracy, the persistence of it is allowing a lot more punches to get through. Strikes absorbed per minute's not too dissimilar. Jared Cannonier, I believe, has been stopped twice by strikes, never been subbed. He has 10 wins by knockout out of 15 wins on his record and 2 by submission. But, you know, like, we're talking about submissions back when he was a heavyweight. Yeah, we're looking at an armbar in 2011 and a rear naked choke in 2013. I think if there's any grappling in this fight, it's probably going to be initiated by Strickland and most likely mostly defended by Cannoneer. Their grappling stats, so you've got Strickland shooting 1.14 takedowns per 15 minutes with a 61% accuracy. Cannoneer is not really a grappler. 0.19 takedowns per 15 minutes with a 25% success rate. Again, you know, he's not got that. I don't think he's got that technical ability to compete with Strickland there. I feel like Strickland will have the advantage in the wrestling and the grappling, but he loses out on the power side of it. But again, like I said, it will be a worthwhile investment for Strickland to make Cannoneer work however he can, just to make that muscle mass work against him. 65% takedown defense for Jared Cannoneer. I do think we're going to see him defending some takedowns, especially if he lands a few decent shots, or say, for example, if he starts hammering that lead leg, or, you know, inside or outside lead leg of Sean Strickland. It's going to slow him down. It's going to make him heavy on his front foot, or it's going to make him hesitant to put his weight on his front foot to throw his rear hand. It does affect his game. Again, you know, Strickland's not really a power puncher. You know, he gets to people, he wears them down. What we got? So 25 wins, 10 by knockout on Strickland's record, 4 by submission. But again, like, we're going back to when he was a welterweight. UFC debut, in fact. Rear naked choke against Bubba McDaniel. That was his last rear naked choke, last submission finish. I think grappling to be a pest, grappling to be a drain on Cannoneer's energy, it comes down to the same thing. I feel like Cannoneer's probably got like a round and a half to make his mark on this fight. If he's able to land and hurt Sean Strickland, he might be able to make him hesitant moving forward, might give him flashbacks of that Pereira fight where he was walking at one of the best kickboxers on the planet. I don't think he's going to fight any different way, to be honest, because I kind of feel like that's who Sean Strickland is. He knows that style will crack the majority of middleweights that he faces. The question is whether the majority of middleweights can crack him and hurt him hard enough and hurt him bad enough to stop him doing it. Of course, Pereira can. I'm not sure whether Cannoneer can get to him. It's going to be difficult for Cannoneer to get to him. That's why I feel like dismantling the lead leg would be a wise thing for Cannoneer to do, even if it's just to give him a slight footwork advantage so he can move away from Strickland quicker than Strickland can chase after him. Yeah, it should be a fun fight, this one. I'm looking forward to it. And yeah, this is the last War Room of 2022, right? Back in 2023. Thank you again. We appreciate the support on the channel. Thank you for subscribing and liking and commenting. We've got a sale on Full Reptile. We're clearing the warehouse ready for the 2023 drop to be delivered. So get on the website and grab some cool items. Ends of line. So if we haven't got your size, I apologize. I've kind of raided all the best sizes out of it. So, you know, you get what you get, but that's the Christmas sales for you, isn't it? And HW1 Fitness, make sure you check us out on Instagram. The gym memberships are now on pre-sale. The gym will be open at the end of January, and you can already come and train martial arts with us over there, so check it out. All right, have a great Christmas, and I'll see you in the new year.